When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Previously on Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
212, of course, that's only happened three times, I think, in the history of test matches.
That's a terrible COVID immunity strategy, absolutely.
I think Shane Warne has become the boy who cried, Australia need to drop Mitchell Starc.
Question four, why does Mark Waugh say, haven't seen much of him?
In a week where Pat Cummins begins his captaincy career with a predictably perfect 100% win rate, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Oh, he bowled him around his legs. He's out bowled around the back of his legs. This ball is swinging around. The point Jeff Boycott made. Lose a wicket, then all of a sudden England could collapse. Out bowled behind the back of his front pad. What a blow.
That was, of course, Tony Gregg and Jeffrey Boycott calling Starc's first ball dismissal of Rory Burns.
Yes, we didn't quite get to hear from Jeffrey Boycott there, but he was about to pop his voice in. We cut that off for the purposes of time.
If you want to hear that, though, you can go and find where some spectacular person has overlaid that commentary onto the actual dismissal in the first test.
Yes, so the person in question is Jason Ford. He's at the Ford Factor on Twitter, so I strongly recommend looking that up. It fits uncannily well, the Tony Gregg, Jeffrey Boycott commentary of Mitchell Starc dismissing Rory Burns. So you are here with Cat Jones and Dan Lipke.
Yep, that's right. And we are talking about Pat Cummins and how well he started as a captain.
Yeah, he did start pretty well. I mean, he lost the toss, which I think was an early flaw, except that Joe Root arguably made the wrong decision then and made it all come good for Pat as well.
Yeah.
Very nice of Joe to sort him out there.
I feel like you should win the toss and then you should toss another coin to decide if you're going to bat or bowl. Like, why not just toss the coin and whichever, if heads comes up, the home team bats.
Yep.
That's the end of it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the other thing that Pat will need to learn as he goes on, I think, is that if you toss the coin and lose the toss, then when they say, you never say, oh, we would have had a bat too. You always say, oh, no, we were going to bowl. Like, you don't give them the satisfaction of thinking they've got one over you.
Psychological edges here. Yes. Anyway, we forgot to get a jingle for this new segment, which must be Pat Chat or something, is it?
Yeah, we'll come back to that. So what any other imperfections from Pat during the test?
Well, he got a review wrong, didn't he?
Yes, he did, yeah.
Just the one review?
One review. It made him very sad. We don't like seeing Pat sad, so the third umpire should probably take how sad that makes Pat Cummins look into consideration before making their decisions.
No, we don't take into account how sad Joe Root is.
Oh, yeah, but that's all right. You can't resist Pat's sad eyes. You've got to keep him happy. Get that glorious smile up there for everybody to see.
I guess so. I mean, as someone said, I think it was Ork Dipty on Twitter, Joe Root is a good-looking man, but he looks like a random pedestrian that superhero Pat Cummins would save from a car crash in a Marvel movie.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely right.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Well, Well, there's lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, and we only have time to cover the first Ashes test.
Yes. We'll begin even before the beginning, before the toss we've spoken about, we'll begin with Joe Root's decision, or the England selector's decision, not to select Stuart Broad or James Anderson.
Confident.
It was very confident. I think the tactic was that they wouldn't select those two, then Joe Root would win the toss, which he did, and then have a bat, and then they'd bat for 5 days with the assistance of rain, and then head off to Adelaide with the score nil all.
So, and with no one having bowled a ball.
Yep. Everyone fresh, especially their two senior bowlers. It was a perfect plan right up until that very first ball.
Yeah, that's it. It was all going to plan right to the point where Stark got to the top of his mark, right?
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, poor old Rory Burns there stepping across and being bowled first ball. So a little bit comical. Did England do anything right on the first day, Kat?
Well, I think I commented that they finished their innings right on the stroke of tea. So that was good timing, like really good timing. So then the most competent thing they did all day.
Definitely. Especially when the rain came in during the tea break, which meant that Australia didn't even have to go out and bat under the slightly bowler-friendly conditions. They said, no, we'll wait till the next morning until it's bright and sunny. Which they did.
Yeah, and they came out and batted on day two, and then England just continued having a pretty bad time of it.
Yeah, so Ben Stokes bowled David Warner with a no ball, and we will get back to the technology of no balls a little bit later.
Well, we will talk a little bit about the technology later, but there was some good new technology too, wasn't there, for this test?
Yes, there was. There were new graphics which was showing the speed and angle off the bat, so they'd like pause it at the moment of impact, and then they'd highlight these graphics which said, you know, 96.1 kilometres per hour for a shot off Josh Butler's bat, which sounds very impressive. And then you kind of think, well, what if you're fielding like 96.1 kilometres away? You'd have to wait like an hour for the ball to get to you, which would be very boring, just sitting there waiting for Josh Butler's shot to get to you. And he's supposed to be one of the more exciting cricketers in the team.
Boring.
Very boring.
Very COVID safe. And also, you'd have a lot of time to sign autographs.
Yep.
So I think there's a lot in this strategy of having everyone fielding. And England would do a lot better if the Australians were 100 kilometres from their bat, wouldn't they? They'd run more runs for starters.
Yeah, I like the idea of the Gabba like encompassing most of the Gold Coast as well. Just like, so there'd be a theme parks are like if you got bored in mid off or something, you just go over to SeaWorld or something watch some of the shows. So, yeah.
Cow Corner is the entirety of SeaWorld.
Yep.
I think we'd even really workshop this.
Yes. Mm. So Ben Stokes bowled David Warner with a no ball. This was apparently Warner's fifth wicket reprieve in his career for no balls. So the fifth time that he's been dismissed off something that turned out to be a no ball and he got to hang around. So I guess what can we deduce from this? Can we just deduce that Warner's got this very magnetic personality that draws the bowlers ever closer to them? They want to be close to him.
Yeah.
He was also dropped by Rory Burns, who wasn't having the greatest tests on the first couple of days.
Yep, and a run out missed.
Hasib Ameed. Mm. And despite all these chances that kept him alive, when he was finally dismissed for 96, Warne on commentary, Shane Warne still declared that he deserved 100, which I'm not sure. I'm quite sure he did, Shane. Maybe he deserved a 24 based on the number of times he was almost dismissed.
Do you think, I mean, most of these commentators are pretty narcissistic. Do you think maybe what Warne meant was that I deserve to call 100?
Yeah,
that's
probably.
Exciting.
Yep.
I'd argue that England deserved the wicket, right? After all of those chances.
Yep.
Anyway, and by the way, everyone is very sick of Warne on commentary from watching the test. So do we really have to bring him into our podcast?
Probably not, no. I mean,
that's one warning for
one
you.
Warning
one
for
warning
for me.
Yep. One warning.
Yes, I've been
yellow
warned.
Card. We haven't had a yellow card out since we had Dennis.
Maybe he took them with him. I'm not sure. Yes. But speaking of being horrified by the commentary, the England fans weren't very pleased with pretty much anything to do with the broadcast. I mean, it's understandable that they didn't like the commentators. I mean, we don't like them much either.
Yeah.
But everything else also seemed to upset them. So anything that wasn't identical to how Sky Sports does it, they were just like, what's going on here? Mm. Like, why are they scoring backwards? You know, come on, guys. That's pretty easy to work out.
Mm.
And also, then some also got upset because they had an interview with Joe Root during a drinks break. It's just, what's going on here? How dare you chat to Joe via a robot?
Well, I mean, if you have to stay up that late to watch, you're going to be a bit cranky, aren't you?
Yeah,
you're staying up all night to watch it. I mean, but still, all those complaints are really first world world problem. Yeah, or first test problems.
Yeah, yes.
First test problems.
Yes. The other first test problem that England had was Travis Head, who managed to score a century in a session, pretty much just as England staged a little bit of a fight back. They got a few quick wickets, and then Travis Head just went berserk. He scored, you know, 80 ball century, and kept going and the next morning.
White ball rates.
Yeah, went on to score 150 by the time the innings was over. And England couldn't really stop him. They tried beaming him at one stage. I think it was Mark Wood unleashed a ball that went straight at him, and he managed to deflect it away with his hand. And everyone had a good laugh about the fact he'd almost been decapitated.
Oh, wow!
I think the highlight of Travis Head innings for me was the next morning when Justin Langer came out and he was talking about Travis Head and how he's returned to the test side, you know, and he said, "One thing I know about Australian cricket is that everybody gets dropped," which is probably a reasonable statement until you realise that Justin Langer was talking to Adam Gilchrist, who was never dropped.
Famously never.
No,
never
played 96 tests in a row, did Adam Gilchrist. So
I'm pretty sure I watch every Justin Langer interview with my mouth open, like just what's he going to say next? That was your mini jail time.
Yes.
Segment there too, by the way.
Yep. Then England more or less bounced back on the third day. They once they finally got a chance to bat again, there was a very sensible partnership between Joe Root and David Malan.
Yeah.
That pretty much got them within 80 runs of Australia with only two wickets down going into the fourth day. They were both 80-odd.
Yeah, and the draw was on.
It was, maybe even a win. It was very exciting. Everyone thought, oh, here we go, game on. And no, it wasn't game on at all.
Game off.
For first thing the next morning, they collapsed. Nathan Lyon got his 400th wicket. Cameron Green got his second. And it was pretty much done by lunchtime.
Yeah, Nathan Lyon broke the seal however long we heard him droning on. We heard at least 400 times how many wickets he was on.
Yep. Well, he's only 97 away from 500 now, so we can set our sights on that.
Let's work through it. My favourite post on the social media was by disappointed England fans was some bizarre person who said, "I blame the 100. And it was retweeted multiple times. Yep. It's like, yep, a lot of people jumped on that bandwagon.
Yeah. So the hundred's first season was this year, right?
Yeah, and I blame the 100.
Yeah, and this is the first time that England have ever performed poorly at the Gabba.
Yes.
So yeah, definitely the 100.
Definitely has to be it.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
Well, it's not just the Ashes that is underway. The 2021-22 Ashes screenplay has also commenced for this season. So already we've had Dan writing the screenplay for the first 5 days of this...
4 days.
4 days, sorry, 4 days of the first 4 days of this test. And we've had Pat Cummins giving PowerPoint presentations, correct, on the sheep industry? Or
sheep industry, the Australian coat of arms, whatever he thinks the team might be interested in.
Exactly. What else? Joe Root struggling to get his team to form a sensible huddle.
Yeah, they queued up for a bit and formed some human pyramids and struggled to get the huddle going.
Mm.
We also had Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson. They were having a lovely tourist holiday at Brisbane, some snorkeling and some balloon flights and some shopping expeditions. Sounds very nice.
And we had Justin Langer turning evil.
Yes, and just being generally, Justin Langer-like, I guess.
Yes.
So there will be more to come in the screenplay as the series moves on. So you can get access to that and access to bonus scenes by spending a mere $3 over at patreon.com/leadcricket. And I recommend that you do that.
And you definitely need to, because as good as the Ashes screenplay is, the deleted scenes are even better. So suffer bad if you haven't paid up.
I was approached by a man who I later discovered to be a bookmaker from India. I was fined $10,000 and paid my fine immediately. I realise and accept fully that my actions were naive and stupid. I realise that I was very naive and stupid and stupid and stupid.
Is that my second warning playing that jingle?
I think so. That is great. I particularly like that, you know, I paid up immediately was a key factor there.
Yep. Yeah, so this is Cat's Gambling Corner, of course, because with a new series started, we've got some new bets on. What kind of bets have you put on this time?
Well, I often bet on the tie because that's always fun to put $1 on a tie at about 600 to 1. However, this time I thought I would bet on not just a tie for the first match, but I've also bet on a tied series 0-0. And
so that's dead already.
I didn't lose a lot of money on that one. I put on 10 bets. In the end, I put on 10 bets.
Yep.
So I managed.
Are these all series bets?
They're all series bets. They're all effectively the same bet. Only one of them can come off. I'm betting on the same thing 10 times.
Yeah.
I'm betting on the result of the series. And so my favourite one was the 0-0, which is ruled out. Yep. Bloody Australia.
Yeah.
I was hoping that we might get some...
We might get La Nina.
Yeah. And just a, you know, a whole bunch of draws. Five draws would be great, but not washouts.
Four draws and a tie.
Yeah, of course. I don't want any washouts. Mm. So this is all based on the fact that if none of these bets come off, it'll be great. It'll mean there's a lot of results because I've put a bet on... There being everything up to three results. So 3-0, 2-0, 1-0 in all directions. Also, you know, a one-all for the series would be great.
No, 2-all, 2-alls, yeah, that's more than three results.
So 2-all's a bonus because that means we've had a lot of results. So I'm actually hoping that we get more results than three.
Yep.
But if we only get three results of any variety, then I've won. I've only put $40 Australian on in total. I can only lose $40 Australian.
Yep.
And at the moment, there's still, I think I've lost four of the bets so far because I've lost England 3-0, 2-0, 1-0 and also 0-all. So I think I'm down $4, Dan.
Oh, no. That's very dreadful.
So six bets are still live. Only one bet can win. And what about you? Have you got a bet on?
I do have bets on. I didn't put them on because I tend not to gamble. But my brothers generally get me bets for my birthday each year. And despite the fact my birthday was like 6 months ago, they finally decreed that they were going to give me one. and this time I had three different bets that they gifted me. So I've got the Australia 5-0 whitewash, which is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
I had the England 5-0 whitewash, which is sadly dead.
Yep.
And I've got the perhaps pretty boring option of Steve Smith and Pat Cummins being the top run scorer and top wicket taker respectively. I kind of wish that was flipped. I wish Pat Cummins was the top run scorer and Steve Smith was the top wicket taker. But
that'd be better odds.
Much better odds, yes.
Mm. Gamble responsibly, everybody.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward.
So here we are in the Moeller Award, our award for any underappreciated act in the world of cricket, anything silly and stupid and similar to Joe the Cameraman.
Yes, so we've got plenty of options this week.
Do we actually have Joe the Cameraman nominated?
Perhaps. I'm not quite sure if he was manning the cameras that all disappeared during the Gabba, but we had a lot of technical issues during the broadcast of the first test. Early on, we had the absence of Snicko and the third umpire calling no balls. They were ruled out, presumably because Queensland has gone backwards in technology over the 18 months they've been, isolated from the rest of the country. They've forgotten how to do those things. So they were ruled out. And then at some point... At some point, the power just went out on the fourth day. They
completely lost electricity, lost visuals on every single channel.
Yep.
So we're channel surfing, trying to find low definition, standard definition.
Yeah, people were, setting up live streams and we were trying to follow along via that. It was all very chaotic for about 25 minutes.
And chaotic for the poor commentators who are not actually at the ground.
They're
all the official commentators are just commentating off the telly like we do.
Yes. So sensible people tuned immediately into... ABC Radio, who were at the ground and they were able to call it live because they were there watching it, so you were able to follow along via radio. But there was no visuals, which was a problem for Australia, because I think Australia are contractually obligated not to take a wicket unless the footage can capture it. So for about 25 minutes they just had to let, I think it was Joss Butler and Ben Stokes, staged a little bit of a fight back as they tried to make Australia bat again.
Yeah, and of course we had it stretching on to, I don't know, half an hour or so, and people started to point out that if we'd been in Kerry Packer's era, the whole team would have been sacked by that point. Yeah,
we would have come back on and there would have been a completely different commentary team to call the remainder of the test.
Yep, yes. It was fantastic. But luckily they put out day four out to tender, and luckily Hobart won the tender and was standing by to complete the day's broadcast if required.
Yes.
And the Woolloongabba Secondary College was standing by too, I believe.
Yep.
The concrete track would have been fun.
Yes.
for the bowlers.
But in the end, I think it was Pat who just went outside and rebooted everything himself, turned the Gabba off and back on again, and play was allowed to resume, and so Australia were allowed to take wickets again. That was the story of technology in Brisbane, and it did make me wonder, how courageous would you have to be after the efforts of this test to get on a plane in Brisbane and fly out of there? Anything could happen to
him. Yep, that's definitely brave. So it's going to be hard to beat this for the Mullower this week, isn't it?
That's a very strong contender because it operated throughout the entire test.
It was fabulous.
I mean, the Ben Stokes no ball, everybody got upset because Ben Stokes wasn't told that he'd bowled three no balls before he finally bowled David Warner on his fourth one.
Yeah.
And so it was all very unfair to England. Never mind the fact that Australia missed out on about 40 runs via no balls that weren't called.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
It would have been an innings win if they called all the no balls, I believe.
Yeah. Yes. So we've had an alternate, almost opposite nomination here, and that is for something that's far more basic, and that is we have three streakers running through the Brisbane ground, and we didn't need to see them on the screen. They don't show them these days. So we had people trying to suggest that maybe you could record your streakers on Streaks Guru or Skin Viz. So the people of Brisbane had just forgotten that you're not allowed onto the ground, right?
I think so. I think they were trying to, you know, take guidance from the former Australian Test captain and do live action dick pics just by running on naked.
Excellent.
I'm not sure any of them were actually naked. I think the streakers have missed the memo in regards to the actual basis of streaking.
That's the advantage of not having it showing up on the TV screen, though, so people don't get the idea that you're supposed to take your clothes off. But we'd prefer that they didn't take their clothes off, by the way, and it was just in the olden days that they used to do that.
Yes. Mm. Yes. What else have we got Muller-wise? We've got, we've got one that we saw in person because we went off to the Renegades match. Who are they playing? The Strikers, I think, over at Marvel Stadium. And we were positioned not too far away from a catch that went viral, Jake Fraser-McGurk's incredible leap from a standing start on the boundary edge where he plucked the ball out of the sky.
He was incredible, wasn't he?
And what was your favourite part about this catch, Kat?
Oh, my favourite bit was the sort of textbook superhero landing pose that he managed to fall into, like Black Widow or someone. Yep. So it was perfect.
Yeah.
And we did have superheroes at the ground.
We did indeed. So he was probably inspired by the fact that before the match, some dude was dressed up in a Spider-Man outfit to promote the new Spider-Man movie and, you know, almost plummeted to his death for our entertainment. But he did survive in the end, survived long enough to do a little halftime skit, which if you saw the skit, you don't have to go see the new Spider-Man movie. Otherwise, you can go see Spider-Man No Way Home in cinemas from December the 16th.
There you go. Not even sponsoring our podcast. Yes. So yeah, we should have had Spider-Man instead of Spider-Cam. That was a missed opportunity that we could have had Spider-Man up there just with a little Polaroid.
Yep, coming down and talking to Joe Root and getting all the England fans cross.
Maybe they could improve the technology at Brisbane by having a Spider-Man with a camera.
Yes. Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, Spider-Man technically is a photographer. He's a...
Oh, right.
Peter Parker's a
photographer.
See,
it all checks out. Yep. Checks out perfectly.
Yes. What else have we got here?
We've got Joe Root. He was chucking his gloves around, apparently. I just saw this posted video. So he was having a net session, was he?
Yeah, he was having a net session, and there was some England fan there who was admiring his effort. So Joe Root tried to chuck a pair of his gloves to her, and somehow they got caught in a tree, which may have been symbolic of what was about
to
happen.
So what happened? Did he top edge them? Like, how did he have... How did they go up so high?
I'm not sure. Anyway, they got caught in the tree, and Joe kind of just shrugged and walked away, shaking his head. And they did manage to get them down. So
if that was Pat Cummins, he would have climbed the tree.
Yeah, or used his heat vision to burn the branch off and just have them fall to the ground or something. Yes.
Yeah, there was just I think they only got the retrieval of the gloves because some other bystander almost got their backpack caught in the tree trying to knock it down. What's up very high.
Yeah, it's very strange. Also very strange is the Foxtel graphics department who managed to spell Manus
Labuschagne.
Were
they based in Brisbane?
Almost certainly, yes, because they spelled Manus Labuschagne wrong when he came out to bat.
Well, it's hard to spell.
It is hard to spell, but he's been an Australian cricketer for quite a while now. Mm. You should have worked it out by now, especially if you're broadcasting them. So,
you need to know how to use copy paste, surely.
Yeah. So Phil Makepeace on Twitter said, if you thought the Aussie commentary was shithouse, they can't even spell their own players' names.
Great point.
Yes.
Great point. And we had some other England fans, the Barmy Army, were trying to trick people into signing things, which I think is a standard trick of the Barmy Army.
Yes, yes. And they weren't great spellers either. So they managed to get Josh Hazlewood, who was fielding on the boundary, presumably. They printed out. So some grown man or grown woman, perhaps, took the time to print out a giant picture of Josh Hazlewood and a piece of text underneath it, which Josh didn't have time to read. So he just signed it, little realizing that he'd fallen into the Barmy Army's cunning trap. Because the text read, and I'm going to quote this verbatim, "I, Joshua Joshy Hazlewood," and the Hazlewood this time is spelt correctly, "do solemnly swear that I knew it was sandpaper. Josh Hazlewood," spelt incorrectly, and then he signed underneath that. So I'm a little bit concerned this may not be legally binding.
Well,
this,
that's a shame.
This confession.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else have we got here?
So we've also got another one of the Big Bash games. I think this was the Stars game, Stars Thunder.
Yep.
So it was a lengthy explanation about COVID protocols for Andre Russell, who just arrived in the country or just landed.
Yeah, so he didn't have to quarantine. He just had to stay away from everybody.
That's right. He had to say he had a limit of 2 metres or something like that. And while they're chatting about it, he appears in the background of the shot, fist pumping some dude.
Yeah, it was very funny.
It was really great. Now, you actually broke this story, I believe.
Yes.
I just saw it.
I just saw a fist bump, so I took a photo and tweeted it out.
I'm surprised that the Channel 7, Channel 9 sports segment didn't lead with that. That's the sort of story that they would lead with, I'm sure.
Yes.
Anyway.
And we do have one more example of things in the background.
Yes.
We got an interview with Matthew Wade, who was chatting with some Foxtel people, and he was on Zoom.
And if you were Matty Wade's stylist, what would you put behind him on his Zoom call?
I'm not exactly sure what I'd put behind him, but I could tell you what was behind him.
Well, I would put a brick wall behind him.
Yes. And it looked very much like a brick wall that he'd only just finished laying himself. It was like, looks brand spanking new.
He
just
shiny.
Pulled out the bricks and the mortar and just put it up and positioned it behind him so he could have this interview in front of a brick wall.
Yeah.
So that was kind of amusing just to see this blank wall behind Matthew Wade.
Careful placement of your best bookcase behind you in the Zoom call.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, so what have we got here? We've got dozens of Muller possibilities.
I can't even remember. Well, let's give it to the first one, will we? We give it
it's
to
gotta
the,
be the first one. It's got to be the technology failure that made...
The entire electricity supply of Brisbane wins the... wins the Muller this week.
So congratulations to Brisbane's electricity. And I think that's going to wrap us up for this week. So you've been listening to Dan Lipke. I'm at Lee Cricket on Twitter.
And I'm Kat Jones at Cricket Back Kat.
You can follow us all on Twitter at Can't Bowl Throw, or you can like us on Facebook just by searching for Can't Bowl Can't Throw. Or you can go to our website, which doesn't really have much up there other than links to previous seasons of this podcast. But you
and
can
everything
go...
we advertise, hopefully.
Yes. it has links to everything. So go to can'tbowlcan'tthrow.com for that. And we will see you all next week.
There was a lengthy explanation about the COVID protocols and Andre Russell, who was another superhero, enters the podcast. That's Batman. Can you stop doing that, Batman? Thank you. Sports Social Podcast Network.